Our study tonight is in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 to 10, the superiority of Christ's priestly role to Abraham and Levi. This is an interesting subject because it has application to both Judaism and Islam, believe it or not. The religions of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity all lay claim to the patriarch Abraham. In Judaism, Abraham is the father from whom Israel's other patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob, came. In Islam, he's the father of Ishmael, through whom Muslims believe God's promises to Abraham passed to them, opposite the Jews or Christians. And in Christendom, Abraham is the ancestor of Jesus Christ, through whom all the promises of Abraham find their ultimate fulfillment. In fact, there's the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him the Amen unto the glory of God by us." The Amen is spoken by us. So all promises, the Abrahamic promises, all the promises are found in Jesus Christ according to Christianity. So the superiority of Christ's priestly role in Abraham and thus to all of his descendants reveals the supremacy of biblical Christianity over Judaism and Islam, offering tremendous application for us. Islam is increasingly in the news, and it's becoming more and more of a focused religion as far as even the American consciousness is concerned. So the book of Hebrews takes on a much greater import for us today than it did, you know, even maybe 10 or 15 years ago. So this passage is one of those passages that has a tremendous application. Well, I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 through 10. "Now consider how great this man was." The man that he's talking about is Melchizedek, to whom Abraham paid tithes in Hebrews 7, 1, 2, and 3. "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And truly they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the lesser is blessed of the greater. Now here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And as I may say so, Levi also who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Okay. A lot of what the author is talking about deals with the law and culture. And the law and the culture is very, very important. I know in Nigeria when I was growing up as a child, when you met an African on a path somewhere and he greeted you, you wouldn't just greet him. You had to stop and ask about his uncle, his aunt, his mother, his father, his sister, his brother. You go through the whole line. Otherwise, you're impolite. And it didn't matter if you were in a rush or not. You kind of had to stop and do that. Now, in America, we just say, hi. You know, hi. Boom. Hi, bye. Away we go. But it's different. So the culture is very, very important. And the culture plays a tremendous role in this particular passage. Well, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews directed his readers to consider the greatness of Melchizedek, to whom he had alluded in Hebrews 7, 1-3, in that the father, or the patriarch Abraham, paid this man a tenth of the spoils of war that he gained in defeating the kings, back in Genesis chapter 14. Let me just go through and I'll look at that passage again just to refresh your memory. In Genesis chapter 14, and I'll look at the whole incident. There were a bunch of kings that had come and had taken captive Lot, along with the king of Sodom, and they'd captured another city-states. Well, Abraham took, in revenge, he took several hundred of his slaves that were with him who were trained for war, and they went after these five kings, and they defeated them. And they recovered Lot and the spoils, and they came back. And as they were coming back with the spoils, in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 14, we read, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, he blessed Abraham, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, that's Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of everything. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the people that you've, you know, my people that you've recaptured, but keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up mine hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that which I will not take anything that is thine, lest you say that I've made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of men which went with me. These would be the pagan the people that Abram had in confederacy with him, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. So Melchizedek was the king of Salem to whom Abram gave the tithes. But he refused, of course, to give the tithes to Sodom. He did the king of Sodom. He did not recognize the sovereignty of the king of Sodom. He didn't want to give credit to him because he was a wicked man. Well, anyway, this reception of tithes was practiced by the Hebrew Levitical line as the descendants of Levi, Jacob's third eldest son through Leah, according to Genesis 29:31-34. Levi received tithes from their Hebrew countrymen, who also descended from their father Abraham. So it says in verse 5 of Hebrews 7, and truly they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, although they come out of the loins of Abram. So God had given commandment that even though Levi was a brother tribe with the other tribes, he was supposed to receive tithes from the other tribes. And that was very important. This also served to put the Levites on a slightly higher pedestal, even though they're brethren, so that the people would look to them in spiritual leadership as the teachers of the law. And some of the Levites were priests who would minister before the Lord. And they would assume spiritual leadership in regards to Israel. And they were responsible for keeping the spiritual tenor of the people high as they taught the people the law of God and how to apply it and so forth. However, Melchizedek, whose lineage is not described in Genesis 14, and thus who acts as a type of the eternal Jesus Christ and his eternal priesthood, and remember Psalm 110 verse 4 says that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, he received tithes from the patriarch Abraham. And Melchizedek also blessed Abraham in the recipient of God's covenant promises. Notice verse 6. He whose descent is not counted from them, that's Melchizedek, received tithes from Abram and blessed him that had the promises. Now this is very, very important because Levi isn't blessing Abraham. Ishmael isn't blessing Abraham. These are descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek is blessing Abraham, and Melchizedek is the greater. Well, this event has huge ramifications regarding the superiority of Christ's priesthood, and so of Christianity's superiority both to Judaism and to Islam, as described in verses 7 through 10 as follows. First of all, the lesser party is always blessed by the greater party in Old Testament culture. So Melchizedek, of whom is Christ's priesthood, is superior to Abraham. This is very important. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. So when Melchizedek came out to speak with Abraham, he blessed him. And in doing so, Melchizedek was indicating that he was spiritually before the Lord superior to Abraham. And Abraham responded to that by paying him tithes, which would indicate that he gave consent to the fact that Melchizedek was greater than he before the Lord. And this is very, very important. We don't get that in our culture. We're just saying tithes, maybe he was a priest or he was just helping him. But in that culture, Abram was indicating that, yes, you are greater, and Melchizedek was signifying that he was greater in blessing him. So that's something to keep in mind. Very, very important. Second, priests in Judaism or other religions received tithes and blessed other devout people of their faiths, though they themselves were mortal and died. But Melchizedek is the type of the ever-living Jesus who will not die, but who is immortal in vast superiority to these other priests. That's where it says in verse 8, here, that's here on this earth, men that die receive tithes, mortals receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Now Melchizedek was immortal, but since his record is not given, he becomes the type of Christ who ever lives as our high priest to make intercession for us. See, Jesus doesn't die. We have had Christians through generations who have lived and died. Jesus has lived throughout all of that. He's the risen Savior. So this is very important. Third, Levi, the great grandson of Abram, through Isaac and Jacob, and the man through whom the Aaronic priesthood of Judaism arose, in the loins of his father Abraham, paid tithes to Melchizedek as the inferior to the superior. Let me read that, verse 9 and 10. And as I may say so, Levi also, who received tithes, he receives tithes of his other brethren, who are the descendants of Abraham, Levi himself paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now this is very important. A son is seen as equal with the father or less than the father if he's not mature and so forth. So when Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, everybody who came from Abraham was also subject to Melchizedek, who is second in command to Melchizedek. So whether you're talking about Levi, whether you're talking about anybody else who came from Abraham after this event, they have to be subject to Melchizedek. They have to be lesser than Melchizedek. That's very important because the author is setting a precedent. If Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Abraham and everyone who was born through Abraham's line after that is also subject to Jesus Christ. So it's interesting. Jesus himself said, Abraham rejoiced to see my joy day and was glad. So even Jesus indicated that Abraham was under him. And that's very important because that means every Jew and every Arab also has to be under Jesus. That's the point that the author is coming here to make. So the priesthood of Judaism, the religion to which the recipients of the Epistle to the Hebrews were being lured to join and leaving the Christian faith, was vastly inferior to the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ. See, every Jew that you meet today, he might refer to the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, you know, that was the priesthood of God. Well and good, it was. But that priesthood has been supplanted by the priesthood of Melchizedek. Even according to the Jewish scriptures, Psalm 110, he's made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and that's Messiah. That being the case, the Melchizedekan priesthood takes precedent over the Aaronic priesthood. And since Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, it's superior in every way. Now, by way of application, this is where we come to Islam. If Islam alleges that the promises of Abraham flow to Muslim through Abram's eldest son Ishmael, who came from the union of Abraham and Hagar, and incidentally this claim is false, because according to Genesis 17, 18 to 21, God said that your seed will be called in Isaac. It won't be called in Ishmael. But we're just, for the sake of argument, we're looking at the claim by Islam that the promises of Abraham come through Ishmael. Okay? Since Levi and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Ishmael, who was also then in Abram's loins, paid tithes to the superior Melchizedek. Now, how do we know he was in his loins? He hadn't been born yet. If you go to Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, this is the chapter in which we find out about the birth of Ishmael through the union of Abram and Sarah's maid Hagar. You notice in verse 1 of Genesis 16, it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children." Now that's chapter 16. But Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek back in Genesis chapter 14. In fact, even after Genesis chapter 14, where Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, Abraham said in chapter 15, verse 2, and actually verse 1, after these things, that's after the situation where Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, verse 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Verse 2, "And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless?" So he was still childless, even after he had paid tithes to Melchizedek. So that means Ishmael was born after Abram had paid tithes to Melchizedek. Now that's very significant. Since the Muslim believes that the promises of Abraham and the spiritual welfare and the covenant and everything comes through Ishmael, since Ishmael was born after Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, Ishmael is subject to Melchizedek. If Ishmael is subject to Melchizedek, Jesus, who is after the order of Melchizedek, has primacy over Ishmael, which means Jesus has primacy over everything in Islam. So we used to have a formula in geometry. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And that's the same argument that is used here. Jesus has supremacy over everything in Islam, even by the argument of Islam. So, Jesus' order takes precedence over Ishmael's heritage to Muslims, so Christianity is also superior to Islam. Now, of course, Ishmael does not inherit the promises of Abraham. I'm just going with the argument in Islam that that's the case, but that's not the case. God himself said, through Isaac shall your seed be called, not Ishmael. And he said that very clearly in Genesis chapter 17. But anyway, since a childless Abraham paid tithes to and was blessed by Melchizedek back in Genesis 14, and Melchizedek was thus greater than Abraham, Christ's priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek, has precedence over Abraham and all his seed, whether it's Levi, the father of Judaism's Aaronic priesthood, or Ishmael, Islam's wrongly alleged spiritual heir of God's promises to Muslims. So Christ in Christianity is superior to Judaism and Islam, and thus we have to go to God through Christ, our high priest. We don't go to God through Muhammad. We don't go to God through Aaron or through a Jewish high priest. We go to God through Jesus Christ, the supreme high priest. So the application is, may we not leave Christianity for Judaism or for Islam. For Christianity is superior to them by way of Christ's Melchizedekan priesthood. May we cleave to Christ's priesthood for blessing. I say this because there is a man who used to be a missionary that I know, who after being a missionary became a Muslim. And it's a shockeroo. And it happened. Well, we're not supposed to do that. If we look at the Word of God and if we follow the Word of God, we need to stay with Jesus Christ. Christianity is vastly superior to Judaism, vastly superior to Islam, because our Savior is of the order of the Melchizedekan priesthood to whom Abraham paid tithes as an inferior. And Abraham is the father of the Jew and the Arab. So Jesus Christ is the king of all, and Christianity takes precedence over that.